Today's message title is going to be up here on the screen, and I've called it Trust and Obey and Then Wonder. Or if you can't remember that, you can remember No Ordinary Joe. Okay, so we're going to talk about Joseph. Now you know where we're going today. And I am very fully aware that I am not the main event, okay? There's going to be a lot of cute kids up here doing a lot of cute things. So I'm going to keep this short so they've got time to do their thing and you guys can get your cameras ready and do what you came for this morning, okay? So thank you for this opportunity to share God's word with you. I do want to talk a little bit about God's word and the importance of Joseph in the story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus and all of the nativity story that we know about. And so as we go to our next slide, here's what we've been talking about. The whole concept and the whole theme has been wonder, which is to think about or speculate, to wonder about something, or to be filled with admiration, amazement, awe, or even marveling at something that you see and experience. And so we've been talking about how Christmas is a season of wonder, and in this particular case, we see Joseph, who is wondering exactly how to handle what he has had come about in his life. He's betrothed to Mary, and yet he knows that he's not been intimate with her, but she is pregnant. And so he wonders how this happened and what is the next step for him. So as we go to our next slide, we see here, this is how wonder is kind of defined and spoken about in the Christmas story over this 3.5 chapters or so. It's wondering how or why, reverence and awe, deeply engaged to marvel or treasure, or being worried or confused. And so this is a very real theme of the Christmas story in the scriptures itself. And we're specifically going to be looking at that first one, talking about how proceed and go forward with what he's got going on. So let's go to our next slide. Now, I don't know if you can really tell what that is. I didn't realize this was going to be hard, but I got to tell you, I was thinking to myself, if I could make a t-shirt for Joseph, what would that look like? And this is what I came up with. I'm doing all the work and I'm getting none of the credit, all right? So that's my t-shirt for Joseph. If I could make a t-shirt, you know, you can make custom t-shirts for everything and all the time. Out on the internet, I just kind of went to this area, and I found this way I could make my own t-shirt, and I really should have put it on a black shirt with white lettering so it would show up a little bit better. But, you know, I think that if there's one person that's deeply disrespected and kind of just shoveled along, you know, nothing to see here, it's Joseph. Can I get an amen? I mean, I don't know if any of y'all think about that, but we think about Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and those are the main characters. We think about the wise men, the shepherds, and we really don't look at Joseph that much. And so, by the way, I think I'm coming and going a little bit. Am I coming and going? All right. Well, I guess I got to keep talking anyway. I suppose there's really no way around it. But if this does happen, just know I'm aware, I'm sorry, and nothing I can do. But here we talk about Joseph for just a quick second, and we think about him, and he is just not given the credit, and they say that fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Ladies, I know that you who have given birth do not want to hear about Joseph being underappreciated. I mean, you know, like Mary is doing all of the real work, okay? I get it. I understand. Ladies, I hope we can still be friends. But I will say this. Joseph is doing a lot of things in the Christmas story, and we just kind of skirt right on by him and not really pay attention to how he is bringing a lot to the table as well. So let's go to our next slide here, and this is an important part of the text that you might have heard that Paul read. It says that the birth of Jesus took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. So we know that that's not married to Joseph, and then on down we see that he was about to divorce her. And so we're like, okay, how can you not be married, but you're going to give her a divorce? We don't really fully understand. Because it was different then in the Jewish biblical times than it is today. Marriage customs were a little different. As we go to our next slide, this is something for you to learn. It says that they were betrothed but not married, and he was going to divorce her quietly. This means that basically they had already had an arranged marriage between the two families. They had become tied socially and probably financially together. They couldn't break this marriage without both of them suffering shame and being embarrassed in front of all the people that they cared most about. But here, Joseph is contemplating and wondering, what am I going to do about Mary? Because I know let's just say it, that baby ain't mine. So what am I going to do? And he's beginning to ponder these things and think about these things. So this is what's going on. A formal divorce was required for this marriage not to take place. And so Joseph is considering doing that very thing. Let's go back to that passage of scripture that we just had on our next slide. And it says that she was betrothed and he was going to divorce her quietly. In other words, he could have made a huge scene. He could have said, I want everybody to know that that baby is not my child and I'm getting her out of my life and on and on and on. I'm sure he wouldn't have said it, you know, quite so rudely or whatever because he's a good man. But this is what could have happened, but Joseph did not. He was saying, you know what? I don't want to embarrass her. I don't want to put her to public shame. I don't even want to hurt her in any way, but I'm not sure I want any part of what's going on in her life. If you guys are with me, can y'all give me an amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And if you can put yourself in Joseph's sandals for a minute, you can understand exactly what I'm talking about here and what he's thinking about. So he's thinking that he's going to divorce her quietly. The Bible says he's thinking on these things. But then when that happens, what happens? An angel of the Lord appears to him and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And so this is a powerful shift, and it's an amazing thing. And I really hope if you can do it, if you can put yourself in Joseph's position and imagine what he knew would follow, this decision that he was being demanded and commanded from the Lord was going to change his life, and he would never be seen as the same man at that time forward. He would never be looked at in the same way by anyone in his life. There would always be a question of, did you marry an adulteress? Whose child is that truly? He would never be seen in the same way again. And I'll tell you, just a little spoiler alert, if you look at the end of Luke chapter 2, he dies before Jesus' public ministry ever starts. It's not expressly told, but Joseph more than likely dies between Jesus at the temple at age 12 and Jesus starting his ministry at age 30. And so he probably died without people ever saying to him, now I see that this man is a different man. Now, again, I ask you, no ordinary Joe, put yourself in this position. Would you say yes? Would you say, I will do what you are commanding me to do? Or would you say, God, I want no part of it. I'm a righteous man and you're asking too much from me. I can't stand up under what you are trying to put on my shoulders. I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do these things. This is where Joseph is, and yet here's why we see that he was not just like everyone else. As we go to our next slide here, here's what we know. Let's go to our next slide, if you don't mind, and go on one more. Thank you so much. Don't miss this. In Matthew's details of the birth of Jesus, God speaks to Joseph four times, and each time Matthew simply says that Joseph obeys God's commands, inconvenient to himself, to his business, and to his family or not. I put in his business because he was a what? What is Joseph? Do you remember? Joseph was a carpenter. Exactly. Very good. So, you know, give yourself a star, all right, a gold star on your pop quiz, all right? So here's what we know. He went away from all the business and the family ties. He left for Bethlehem, and then he went away even further to Egypt. And you go away for a little while and people stop using you in the business. So he didn't just inconvenience his family, his extended family, his wife and his newborn son, but he inconvenienced himself when it came to providing for them in the long term. And he was willing to do it all, not because he wanted to, but because God had commanded him to. And so this is where I slow down for just a quick moment and ask you, are you willing to be inconvenienced? Are you willing to be misunderstood, all so you can be fully obedient to the God who makes commands and demands on you and me still to this day? Because most of us just simply are not. That's why Joseph is a little different. Let's go to our next slide, if we could here. And then it says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And that's in 1:24. And then we see here in 2:14 and 15, he rose and took the child and his mother. And what's the next words in that passage of scripture that I said there? What is it? By night. In other words, in the middle of the night, Joseph said, I'm so convinced that I need to do God's will that I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night in an incredibly dark world where a flashlight would have been the brightest thing that could have been seen after dark. And I mean, he goes anyway with a torch and nothing else to light his way. Joseph is desperate to be obedient to God. And when was the last time anybody you knew was literally desperate to be obedient to God? Kind of hard to find these days, isn't it? And so that's why I say he's no ordinary Joe. He is a person who is very different, and it inspires wonder as we see how Joseph was just so very different. Let's keep going to our next slide. And it says, the angel said to Joseph, this is a little further down in Matthew chapter 20, rise and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. God commands, he obeys. God commands, and he obeys. It's happened twice. Now we're going to this third slide here, or this second slide. Let's go back one more. I know that was a little confusing when I said that, Colin. I'm sorry. And then one more down, 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 one more over. Okay, I'll tell you what. I know which one it is, if you don't mind. It is slide number 12. Slide number 12. And if you look at this here at the bottom, you see being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived there in a city called Nazareth so that what was spoken of the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. So one more time, four times in this passage of Scripture, Joseph hears from God, and how many times does he obey? All four. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes I think, God, if we're keeping score, I'm batting a really good batting average. I'm 3 for 4, but this one is just a bridge too far. You know, I'm ready to stop. No, that's not Joseph. He's in all the way and all in on following God's truth. Let's go to our next slide. And this is, I do believe, our big idea. Thank you so much, Colin. You're a brave man trying to follow me along and make my mind work with yours. It's a scary place to be. All right, so real quickly, here's what I would say. Obedience doesn't require understanding, but obedience always requires sacrifice. Can I just share something with you? For most of us, we have told ourselves a lie. And that lie is, well, if I just understood it, I would do it. Just understand it, then I would do it. But can I ask you a question? Can you look within and be honest enough to say that a lot of the time we have plenty of truth to follow, we won't do it, and we're just using that as an excuse? You know, you can actually be obedient even when you don't understand. And if you're a parent like me, sometimes you realize that you can't fully explain in just a moment what you need to explain to gain the obedience for your child. Sometimes when they're young, they have no concept of what you're trying to convey, but you need them to obey and later to be able to what? Understand. Can I get an amen on that from a parent in the house? Amen? Okay, so here's what we know. God is a loving father. And when he says to me, Randy, do this, I would like to convince myself it's because I don't understand. But the truth is that most of the time it's because I don't want to do what God is calling me to do. I don't want to make the sacrifice. And so I pretend that I need more understanding when actually all I really need to do is just simply to trust and obey. Do any of you guys in here know that old hymn, Trust and Obey? Have any of y'all started thinking about trust and obey? Any of you? If you did, you probably grew up in like a Baptist church or something like that. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to... Very good. All right, very good. A handful of y'all know it. Do y'all want to hear me sing it? I didn't think so. All right. I didn't think so. I already knew where that was going when I said it, so I'm just seeing if y'all are awake. And y'all are quickly, the loudest interaction I get all day, no, no, let's not have you sing that, please, no. All right, so then let's do this. Would you guys say the big idea with me out loud on the count of three? Here we go, ready, one, two, three. Obedience doesn't require understanding, but obedience always requires sacrifice every time. So real quickly, I want to share with you an important lesson from the story. And let's look at this, and we'll move on as we can here. At Jesus' birth, Joseph obeys, even if he does not fully understand it all. That immediate obedience and not hesitance. He did it at great cost to him personally, both his business and his personal life, and at inconvenient times and situations. I've already covered all of that. I just wanted to put it before you one last time. This is a man committed to obeying what God has said to do. Let's go to our next slide. Don't miss this. If you have to fully understand all of God's plan before you obey it, you will miss out on the wonder that God brings into your life. If you obey God only if it is easy or convenient, you will rarely obey God. Now, okay, let's make this Christmas time stuff, okay? How many of you guys remember when you were a kid and you had a Christmas gift under the Christmas tree that you had no idea what it was? Did y'all ever have that experience? How many of you guys, let's do true confession, good for the soul. How many of y'all were peekers? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you went in there, you unwrapped your gift. I have a few of you admitting it. The rest of you, a lot of y'all are liars. Okay, and you're still not over what you used to do as a kid. Oh, someone just raised their wife's hand. They're like, she was a peeker. Okay, so here's what I know. I sometimes was told what my gift was, and I most of the time was not. My parents were geniuses. They told me, they said, if I find out you're peeking, it goes back to the store and you don't get it. So guess how many times I peeked? Someone was like, every time. Okay, well, you know, please give me a little more credit than that. I was selfish enough to not peek because I wanted whatever they had gotten me. So I have other problems with not peeking. Here's what I know that there was something special about opening a gift that I did not know what it was. Sometimes I would know by the size and the shape of the box and what I had told them I wanted, and then I'd open it and I'm like, yeah, I got it, cool, this is awesome. But then there was also times where I had no idea and I opened it up and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, where are we going with this? And we're here already. You know, for a lot of us, Christmas time just doesn't really have the magic that it used to have. We've lost a lot of the wonder and the joy of the season because we get so wrapped up in all the things that go around it in our modern world. But here's what I know. For most of us, the predictable becomes mundane. But if we can come to a place where we say, God, I don't even have to know where you're going with this. I just trust you enough to follow you no matter where you take me, and I will know eventually, whether here or in heaven, I will figure it out, but here's what I know. I know that you are a good God, and that you want good for me, and that you have plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me a hope and a future, and so I will trust you that even when I do not understand, I will trust and I will, what? Obey. And it brings wonder back into your life. And you know what they tell us these days? They tell us more and more that all that we know and all that we plan and all that we think that we can control is stuff that weighs us down. But those things that we cannot control and we have to let loose and let go of brings us joy in a different way. And so if you are missing out on wonder in the Christmas season, it may be because you have ceased to obey. And you have ceased to trust that even when you don't understand, and even when it calls for a sacrifice that you don't think that you're willing to give up, it's always worth it because God is a good and loving God. And he has wonder in store for you if you are willing to be submissive to him. Now, I feel like I've given you guys the point that I wanted to get across. If I can get a good amen, I'll wrap this thing up pretty quick. Can I get a good amen? Amen. All right, awesome. Thank you guys so much. Here's what I want to share with you. A moment of wonder as we go to our next slide here. An incredibly judgmental and closely connected culture. Joseph and Mary both say yes in real life, and they say yes in real time to what God is commanding them. They fully obey God's directions with no hesitation, and it is amazing. And I will just share with you, if you kind of, this will help you. Joseph was probably about 30 or 35 years old when he married Mary, who was probably about 14 to 16 years old. He was putting an awful lot of faith in a very young girl, and yet he knew that she had God's fingerprints on her life. And it was a powerful thing to see a man in many ways submitting to a woman's leading, of God's leading in the midst of her life. There's a lot there that I don't have time to unpack, but it will share some things with you. Now, I want to just share this with you as we bring this to a close. And I've asked the question in my own mind. I was like, is this a time of victory or is this like a soul-crushing thing? And it may be a little of both depending on who you are. You guys remember when Jesus was at the temple at age 12 and he was left behind at the temple? I made a joke this past time when we were doing some study on this, on the Zoom Bible study. I was like, I'm very godly because I got left at the church plenty of times when I was a kid. Maybe on purpose, we're not sure about that. Still looking into it with my parents, but I got left at the church. That's as close as I've come to being like Jesus, unfortunately. But here's what I know. As they went back, in some ways, this is an incredible victory because we see that Jesus is stepping fully into the man that God had called him to be and that he was born to be. But at the same time, it is a crushing thing for Joseph. And here's what we see on this passage of scripture on our next slide. As we see it here, when his parents saw him, meaning Jesus, they were astonished. And his mother said, "Son, why have you treated this way? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the sayings that he spoke to them. Now, whenever you hear Jesus say that, you realize Jesus realizes at that moment, I'm no ordinary child, and my father is actually the heavenly father. You guys with me? Y'all hear me? Okay, but let me ask you this question. If Jesus says, "Didn't you know I should be in my father's house?" And your name, the sandals you're standing in, are Joseph's, that hits different, doesn't it? That hits different, doesn't it? Because he has just said, even if I love you, even if I'm submissive to you, I know that you are not my father. My father is my father in heaven. And here's what I know. Joseph knew that this was always going to be true. He is no ordinary man, not only because of his obedience, but this guy had broad shoulders, man. He knew he was going to take a lot of ridicule, a lot of contempt, a lot of questioning all of his life. And he said, I'm cool with it as long as I can be faithful and trust and obey in God. And so that is what he does one more time here, as we see in Jesus saying, my father's house. Let's go to this next slide, and we're just about to wrap up. So don't miss that Joseph would always be Jesus' father, but he would never be his father. And he sacrificed where and how he could provide his right to name his son, and he was destined to always be an afterthought in the story, but don't miss what Joseph can teach us, what he can challenge us to be. Let's go to our next slide. And here, why does Christmas still captivate? Because Joseph heard God's clear revelation to become the father, though never to be the father of Jesus. And we can be in wonder ourselves of how willing and how full Joseph's obedience was. But obedience was his hallmark. It was his trademark move. Joseph was an amazing man of character. And you and I can be the same if we will make that our first choice, that we will always obey God, not because we understand, not because it's easy, but because we know that if we will be submissive to God, we will always come out ahead in the end. Let's go to our next slide. Here's some big questions. First of all, do you demand that you understand God's commands and direction to obey? And secondly, are you willing to be ashamed, mocked, or even inconvenience to obey God's standards and his direction for you? And I ask these questions honestly. Look deep within and understand that ultimately we are called to be these things so that God's plan can take place in our lives and through our submission to Him. So as we go to our next slide, here is how we apply. Do you obey what you already know? And how and where can you tell what God is doing in your life already? And I just would say, as we have the kids coming in, we're going to show a movie. Hopefully it will bring Joseph to light, and you'll see him in just a little bit better way and appreciate all that he is and all that he was. Let's check it out. It's called Joseph from Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Don't look at me that way. I don't want to hear it. I mean it, Delilah. This whole trip is ridiculous, and you know it. Whoa, oh, how's that again? How's 90 miles with my pregnant wife for one? You're not the smoothest ride ever. No offense. What if she starts contracting on the way? Yes. In fact, I am throwing myself a pity party, and you're invited, so stop complaining about it. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't blame you. I blame Caesar and this whole head-counting nonsense. Truth is, and I'm only telling you this, under ordinary circumstances, I would love to make the trip back to Bethlehem and see my family again, my uncles, my cousins, of course, Aunt Yael. But now... How am I supposed to explain all this? Mary needed an angel to explain it to her. I needed a divine dream to get it. What am I supposed to do when I get to Bethlehem, huh? Break the ice over some matzah? What is my family gonna say when they see Mary and I together, and she looks... Doesn't matter. We have to make the trip to Bethlehem because I, way, way back, am related to a king. What do you mean I don't look like I have royal blood? It's true. I'm related to a king. And she is about to give birth to a king. And... You said marry her. So I did. You said name him Jesus, so I will. You said he would be the Son of God. Your son. You are too good to us, Lord. What was impossible to believe still seems so impossible. So, girl, you will be carrying Mary, and Mary will be carrying the Son of God, and I will be carrying a lot to process. This little pity party thing stays between us, okay?
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee.